Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm Sandra Ladd, and I'm the senior minister for First Christian Church Stillwater. We are growing a Christ-centered, compassionate church where all can connect to God's love. And we hope that in this time you experience growth. We pray that this time will help you focus and center on Christ, and that in this time you will sense care and compassion. We pray that this time provide you with a deeper connection to the love of God. Grace and peace be with you. And again, we thank you so much for gifting us with your time.
Today's scripture, John 1, 35 through 51. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher. "Where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man."
Let's pray. God, may the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. During our narrative lectionary rotation, we have covered the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And during this final rotation, we begin our study of the book of John. John omits the stories of the baptism and the temptation of Jesus. His version of Jesus calling the fishermen by the Sea of Galilee varies from the other Gospels. I am so grateful for the opportunity to embrace these differences, to ask questions. For me, it doesn't challenge the believability of Scripture. It reinforces the truth of the gospel. It makes the good news much better news, real and relevant. It's good news that God intentionally includes diversity and perspective, something that we should embrace instead of attempting to explain or excuse away. In the Gospel of John, John the Baptist is standing with two of his disciples. Note, John the Baptist was not paving the way for Jesus on his own. It wasn't a solo job. This was a revelation for me. I always thought of John as this kind of standalone guy, a loner. Study of this text taught me that he was also a leader, training disciples. And I point that out because I think it's true of most people. The more we get to know them, the more we learn about them. People are not one-dimensional. Most are multifaceted with lots to discover and learn. Notice that John's message that drew the attention of the disciples is, look, here is the Lamb of God. It's interesting because remember, these were an oppressed people. They were waiting on a king, a leader, strong and mighty, with the ability to overthrow an oppressive government, set them free. They were not looking for a lamb. And yet they leave John and follow Jesus. And that, my friends, that's the mark of an effective leader, of effective ministry, of an effective church, to direct people to follow Jesus. Not followers of a pastor, not followers of a specific theology, not even followers of a denomination, but followers of Jesus Christ. Jesus asks the question, what are you looking for? Such an important question, because we are all looking for something: purpose, meaning, salvation, satisfaction, change. What are you looking for? What do you want out of life? What do you want from your faith? What do you want out of this church? What do you want from a relationship with Jesus? What are you looking for? Something to ask yourself this week, as well as a question to ask others that you know are seeking. The response of the disciples may seem strange. Where are you staying? Doesn't really seem to fit the question, does it? What are you looking for? Where are you staying, Jesus? The word staying is better translated abide, a term that John will use often. What is your connection, Jesus? Where are you plugged in, and what are you plugged into? And he says to them, come and see. And they do. They abide with Jesus and they remain. How about you? Do you look for the places where Jesus is, and do you connect there? I recently met a young lady who has been searching. She's been to multiple churches, plugging in, becoming involved in the various ministries. She didn't have anything bad to say about any of them. In fact, she was intentional about pointing out the good things about each church. She just hadn't found the place she wanted to stay. She's still seeking. Says so much about her, and I'm praying that she finds what she's looking for, a place to connect to God's love, a place where she can use her gifts and her talents to bring others to Jesus, because that's what disciples do. They bring others to Jesus. Andrew brings his brother Simon, and Jesus gives Simon a new name, Peter, meaning rock. This is another significant difference in the gospel stories. The other writers name Peter as the first disciple called by Jesus. They place him kind of first and at the forefront, the foundation of the church. John seems to be intentional about sharing that Andrew brought Simon to Jesus and invited Peter, who, according to John, was neither first nor foremost. The disciples, guys, were regular people, just like you and me, and I love seeing that about them. They mess up their priorities sometimes. They lose sight of what matters and what doesn't. But God uses them in spite of their faults and their failures to point us to what does matter. And it's not about who comes first or who finds first. It's not about the order or the importance of the person. It's not about the individual. An encounter with Jesus is intended to change us all. Everyone, for the better. I came across something interesting in one of the commentaries that I studied for today. The name Peter has become popular because of Christianity, but prior to this time, Peter was not a common name. It would have been like calling somebody tree or naming them dirt in our own time. But it was intended to draw attention. Jesus' designation of Simon as rock wasn't just simply a nickname. It was following a biblical tradition in which the new name signifies a new reality. Jacob becomes Israel. Abram becomes Abraham. Sarai becomes Sarah. Simon is not yet a rock, but Jesus names him for what he will become. Revelations 2:17 says, "He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna. I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone, which no one knows but he who receives it," our rock, our redeemer. Now, there's a lot of overcomers listening today. Isn't it exciting to know that you have a new name written in stone, something wonderful that through Jesus you may not yet be, but you will become? The next day they go to Galilee and Jesus finds Philip and says to Philip, "Follow me." John doesn't leave out the traditional calling. He just includes other ways to come to Jesus, mostly by the invitation or influence of others. The gospel, according to John, is that there are different ways of coming into relationship with Jesus. Next is Nathanael, invited by Philip. Nathanael may seem to be a skeptic, but do you know that this skeptic knows Scripture? His expectation is based on his study of the Word of God. And it's that Jesus will come from Bethlehem, not Nazareth. Notice that Philip follows the example of Jesus and invites Nathanael, "Come, see for yourself." Sometimes we aren't effective in our evangelism because we've added to the formula. Maybe we need to be more intentional about inviting and allowing people to experience Jesus as Jesus deems best. Invite others to every possible opportunity. Don't give in. Don't give out. Don't give up. Trust Jesus to do the rest. Nathanael opens his mind and his heart once he realizes that Jesus sees him. Jesus knows him. Jesus invites and welcomes him. The statement Jesus makes about seeing him under the fig tree has a deeper meaning that you might not know or understand. Under the fig tree was used in rabbinic literature to describe the meditation of the law. So what Jesus was saying was, "Nathanael, I've seen you meditating on the law." Jesus acknowledges Nathanael's study of the word and uses that knowledge to help Nathanael see who Jesus truly is, a bridge between God and man.
In following Jesus, Nathanael doesn't abandon his Bible or his ancestral faith. He does, however, allow Jesus to gently guide him into true understanding. We need to hear these stories. We need to follow these incredible examples of faith. Did you notice that one of those who met Jesus that day remains unnamed? I love the idea that that's so we can insert ourselves into the story. We just may be the unnamed disciple. What does that mean for all of us today? Hopefully something different for every one of you. I find it extremely relevant for us as a church as we step into the new year. May we step into 2022 intent to invite others to come and see. May we keep Jesus central in all that we do, whether it be a book or a Bible study, fellowship, worship, missions, music. We are an extremely disconnected world. And we can view that as a tragedy or as an opportunity to connect others to the most crucial connection of all. May we trust that those who accept that invitation will find what they're looking for. I'm reading Atlas of the Heart by Brené Brown. Her research indicates that the main thing that people are looking for is connection, to be seen, to be known, to be loved. Isn't it incredible that that's exactly what Jesus offers? We have a message to share, a message to be excited and enthusiastic about. We have what the world is looking for. Are we just keeping it to ourselves? Are we sharing the difference that faith can make in a life? Matthew, Mark, and Luke, faith only gradually dawns on the disciples, and they come to a realization of Jesus' identity only at the climax of the story. John retells the story in such a way that at the very beginning, before Jesus' ministry even begins, his disciples confess faith in him with a whole range of titles: Lamb of God, Rabbi, Teacher, Messiah, Christ, Son of God, King of Israel, Son of Man. How about you? Do you come to know Jesus for who he is at the beginning, the middle, or at the end? The invitation is extended today to all. We are invited to know the one who claims to be the bridge, the connection to God. Amen.